So when Toby said, would you like to present at the Object Fair, I took that kind of invitation quite literally to bring, in a sense, of an object, a virtual object in this case. But so this isn't about my work as such, although the object I've chosen is very much related to research and practice that I've done, so it's far from as sort of finished and polished as cats. But so I chose to sort of talk about dirt, and I'm hoping perhaps in this kind of unfolding of the various ways in which I think dirt is an object or a thing, that perhaps you may also have a lot to say about dirt. This first image from a NASA moon sampling of the dirt there, it's quite, you know, sort of interesting the ways in which dirt often is collected and gathered in various processes to become an object. So that's something I'd also like to address. But generally, thinking about dirt as mutable in the sense that it's never a single static object, as something that is material but not just in the sense of raw matter or brute materiality, but is a kind of process of materialization, potentially kind of drawing on Judith Butler there. It is also multiple in the ways that it exists. So, I mean, you can see there's a kind of STS bent here, incorporating arguments from Haraway and Latour and so on. And thinking about things not as sort of singular objects, but as hybrid arrangements. And all kinds of practices are sort of organized that sort of show that element of dirt. Here is just, you know, you might be familiar with Mark Dion's Tanis Tate Dig. It's quite interesting that the dirt is, in a sense, one kind of object or medium that also gives rise to all kinds of other objects and sort of artifacts, really, that can then take on another life. Thinking about dirt also as figure or ground, and this is something that I'm just sort of predisposed to, I suppose, because I'm trained as a landscape architect. So thinking always about dirt and what it enables, thinking about, for instance, Central Park, 1858, kind of before it was altered by Frederick Law Olmsted and Culver Vaux, in its kind of raw state as just sort of pastures and glacial till, and the massive amount of earth moving that took place in the formation of that landscape, which it appears for all sort of sensible purposes very natural today, but is actually a highly engineered, highly rearranged landscape. And here, you know, sort of creating reservoirs and different kind of undulations and topographies as the very basis for that kind of design practice. And it's true also for city making. If you think about how much derelict land there is potentially in London, and how many of those sites are brownfield sites, how many of those sites are contaminated sites where the dirt is actually not something you can work with without complication. So figure ground kind of switching all the time, the possibility of that ground giving rise to figures. I thought also it might be important to address how dirt as a kind of mutable object gives rise to questions of politics and resources. And here I'm thinking actually most recently you may have seen the discussion about the land grab going on in Africa right now and how many sort of first world countries are buying up massive chunks of Africa to grow food everywhere from the UK to Saudi Arabia to China. Millions and millions of hectares of Africa, of African lands are being purchased to grow you know, sort of food and biofuels for that matter. In this continent where land is relatively cheap. So dirt here is, you know, kind of the basis for nations, for colonial expansion, for resource wars, and more. Thinking also, obviously, as dirt as a substrate, as a repository, as kind of geological strata. Here, it's sort of quite interesting to remember that where we are right here is floodplain. So, you know, we're sitting in this kind of wet, peaty, loamy soil that's why everybody always says, you know, if the seas were to rise and the
Thames flooded, this would basically be all underwater with climate change. It's actually kind of true because of the kind of soils and the flood patterns in the river there. But also thinking about underground sort of contamination and sort of detection of that contamination. This is from the SENS sensor project at UCLA. If you know, they're creating a number of sort of soil sensors that could be used to detect seismic movement, contamination, moisture levels, and more. So those kinds of underground spaces as being quite active, even though they appear kind of to be invisible. Also thinking about dirt as data or a scientific object. Jeffrey Bowker talks about, the SCS scholar, talks about how, you know, dirt is actually a kind of fuzzy object, and it can be quite difficult to sort of put it into classification systems. And a number of different scientists treat dirt differently. Agriculturalists have different designations for dirt than ecologists, for instance, or geologists. They care about different things. An ecologist might consider rocks dirt because lichens can grow on them, but for an agriculturalist, that's not soil. So the different ways in which dirt can be rendered as a scientific object and studied is quite kind of mutable again. And obviously looking at the layers of dirt and the ways in which kind of profiles can be mapped onto this object to sort of create informational entities or other informational objects from these objects. So then, I mean, obviously thinking about dirt as a medium, you know, it's not just an object, but it's a kind of a fluid space of exchange or process or even germination, cultivation, and so also a process and giving rise to processes. Here is citizen science project being run out of the Natural History Museum called OPAL, Open Air Laboratory, I think it stands for. And they have a number of surveys and survey kits that they've produced for people to engage in. This one is a soil and earthworm survey. They've also done air and some other kinds of surveys. And here you can see that, you know, they've actually got a whole set of steps where you can test the soil in order to determine what it is. Is it clay? Is it loam? Is it peaty? Is it, you know, sandy silt? And also in the process of this, they give you kind of kit where you can get some mustard sachets and pour them into holes that you've cut out to see which earthworms come up. And then you can classify these earthworms, because obviously earthworms are organisms that eat and expel soil, and without them, you know, soil would more or less not kind of be arable or even possible. So it's quite interesting to think about these relational organisms that very much inhabit this object of the dirt. And also just reminds me too of Gay Hawkins' sort of discussion on worms in her Ethics of Waste book, where she talks about, you know, these kind of objects of transience. There's very much kind of processes of life and death bound up in these objects. So if that's not too much of an auctioneer style presentation of my object, just kind of winding up with, you know, dirt as a design kind of practice, which I think is kind of running through all of this in a sense, but most recently I've kind of been interested in the way in which people are almost attempting to automate and animate dirt through the use of sensors, through various home gardening projects where people try to rig sensors to their soil in order to monitor moisture levels, in order to have almost a kind of automated garden. So maybe you've seen these projects. There's quite a lot of sort of things like this posted on Instructables, and this kind of Guardino, which I think is quite, you know, humorous, the way in which the soil in a sense is built into this other animated system or object to be able to, in a sense, communicate and become part of the Web 2.0, to be something that you can monitor and monitor via Twitter and so on. So, I mean, through all of that, I think, you know, dirt is obviously a transitional object, a mutable object. It's material, but never in the same way, necessarily. It's relational, it's mobile, and it's kind of, you know, brute material, but also more than that. So I think in a way that a lot of the discussions that have taken place in the seminar series have given rise to a lot of these thoughts about how objects are kind of constantly shifting, but can be interesting assemblages for bringing together a lot of these concerns in interesting ways. So, but by no means meant to be sort of definitive, so if you have any other thoughts about dirt.
I'll kick off again if you don't mind. I just had a question, I guess, about your own approach. Because obviously, the work that I've seen you do, your roles here at Goldsmiths, you have the MA design environment, which has been running for a year now. Various kind of research interests as well. So what I'm interested about in terms of the presentation you've just made is you're kind of putting this sort of material together, you know, sort of working it in quite an early stage.
Mm.
But I was just wondering where you see this kind of fitting into your kind of portfolio of interests. I was just quite curious about, you know, where might this go, do you think, in terms of your own practices? Mm. Is it something that you see as you're putting together sort of material that might go on to be some kind of funding proposal, or might it feed into kind of course material with your MA students? It's just interesting, I think, sometimes to when you catch stuff at this stage to just hear about, you know, what the value of it for you, you know, in your practices.
Mm-hmm. I mean, very clearly this kind of relates to work that I've been doing over a number of years and work that I'm hoping to develop related to kind of ecology and informational objects. But I didn't really want to spend time talking about, you know, sort of my work as such, but since Toby's forced me to do that.
Sorry.
I did my PhD thesis on electronic waste, so I'm very interested in kind of more waste-related objects that are kind of transformational and don't settle into kind of usual form. From that work, I am now hoping to go on to look at various kind of components of ecology as science and ecology as practice, and the way in which objects within ecology are sort of understood, and the way in which they give rise to practices. So, I mean, I see this as kind of a mapping of a terrain almost, and points of entry for understanding that. So I am hoping it will, but I was doing more of a broad brush. This is by no means a kind of, you know, thesis statement or... And obviously it's related to design and environment. In fact, the Guardino project is something a student brought my attention to and put on the course blog. So, these are all kind of interleaved, these conversations.
I thought it was interesting with the work here. This is an Arduino that is a homemade kind of electronic system to measure and control the garden environment, is it?
I think it's actually, to monitor it, and I think you can actually adjust certain things in the garden, as far as I understand. But
And just to kind of think of that alongside the work by Mark Dion that you showed, the dirt is obviously kind of, it's small particles, but it's kind of sort of massive and unbounded. So both Mark's projects in this one are kind of about making quite tight and controllable systems in a way. Like Mark's was kind of archaeological, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one's, it's putting it into an information space. It just seems quite interesting how to work within this material is to get these quite kind of tight demarcations.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, that question of systems is very much kind of key to understanding ecology, both conceptually and sort of in terms of practice. Ecology is very much bound up with, the sense of information systems, of cybernetics, and those kinds of delineations of objects in order to kind of, you know, inform practice are very important. So yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting point that you're making about trying to control and contain dirt, because dirt ostensibly is something that there's an inherent tension to, because it's not something that can usually be controlled or contained. You know, it's an ongoing kind of activity and practice, and depends on the context of which it's being viewed. Because I was saying that I was quite pretty much dirty all year. Grease on me, or something was ripped, or something, which is fine in certain contexts, but in other contexts, it's certainly not fine.
No, I mean, that's absolutely right, and dirt should almost always be referred to as dirt making, because dirt is always kind of in the process of making, you know, it's kind of a process of erosion and building up new materials, breaking down rocks, breaking down the parent material, giving rise to dirt, and yeah, being involved in practices as kind of a form of dirt making.
And I was just thinking, kind of pushing what Kat said, to even more kind of relativist things, that dirt is any dirt if someone thinks, you know, is there an absolute dirt? Because then when I was thinking about that, you were talking about things breaking down, and I was thinking, well, maybe the category of dirt itself is not quite capable of holding the different kind of political limitations of what you're saying, stuff that breaks down, and then stuff that just is categorised as dirty. It might be different. Because one is a process that you might want to recognise with some, link up with something called nature, maybe, and other things you might want to look more to a kind of socio-political arena. I don't know.
Although, yeah, I mean, I suppose those could be kind of joined too, couldn't they, like sort of nature cultures, and the way in which, I've actually written a paper called Sink, the Dirt of Systems, and it's looking very much at kind of climate change and the use of these sinks in climate change to, like, the atmosphere, the soils, and forests as site where carbon is stored, and the way in which, you know, carbon is understood as carbon is kind of understood as a kind of polluting element within these spaces, but also within political spaces and spaces of regulation, spaces of practice, and the way in which, you know, it's kind of ordered within the Kyoto Protocol, within the relationship between first world, third world kind of land arrangements, and so on. So it's actually interesting to see the way in which those categories also become quite interleaved. But yeah, I can see, you know, there might be a way in which processes of erosion ecologically could be understood as somewhat different, but I'm very drawn to sort of Donna Haraway's suggestion that those are perhaps even kind of more closely aligned than we might think.
Alex, you've been very quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I've for me, there seems to be kind of like a particular scale involved with the, so it has, you know, the word itself is kind of related to scale, you know, and things kind of breaking down rather than kind of constructing the building up.
Oh, you plant gardens in the dirt.
Yeah, but that's soil for me.
Well, I mean, some people really, you know, sort of, yeah, some scientists insist that what you plants in is soil, but other people kind of have actually made a point of reclaiming the word dirt, because it has these other associations, and it's not just a space of breaking down, it's also a space of, you know, kind of productivity as such. So it's not like it's kind of one or the other. But what's interesting is, you know, dirt can be quite granular, but it can also be quite extensive, so it does cross scales.
But this is where I wonder whether it's useful as a word by itself. Because you kind of shifted away from when you said it's not dirt, it's dirt making. You know, then what does dirt making make? You know, maybe makes different other kind of finer grained concepts of this dirt thing. You know, I guess another way of asking is like, what's at stake of just keeping the word dirt, not qualifying it with things like natural dirt, or do you see what I mean?
Maybe. I mean, I guess when you just said if it's dirt, why should it not be dirt making? Those might be kind of contrary.
I think that's one of the things you made. Didn't you say at one point it maybe it's not dirt, it's dirt making? So then I was like, well, what does dirt making make? you know, what?
Well, I mean, hopefully, all, as I've shown, all kinds of, you know, it has all kinds of relationships, approaches of materialization, which I guess is my point by not keeping dirt static as such. You know, you could say, you know, dirt is the object, and then there's all these kinds of activities that dirt gives rise to, or that dirt is actually a kind of processual object, you know, that's actually part of the way it can be understood. So I guess I don't know, I'm not...
It's just isn't it like, you know, if dirt can cover all of this, then does it function like the word culture?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean when people say, well, that's just cultural?
Say it's dirty.
Yeah. And so, do you see what I'm saying? So then what happens? Is that a problem? Maybe it's not a problem. Maybe just to say it's dirty, like to say it's cultural, is signalling something. You don't need to make it more specific or more kind of pointed.
Well, I guess by showing the way that it moves and transforms through these different kind of spaces that I've identified is not to render it generic as such, but it was actually to try to make more specific the notion of assemblage, because you would say a dirt is an assemblage of politics and resources and ecology and culture, but what are those components of that assemblage? And assemblage is a word that I'm very attracted to, but also very kind of skeptical of in a way, because it's so, you know, seductive and tidy. But in a sense, I want to understand what those components of that assemblage are by looking at particular object as assemblages of these things. But you could say that about kind of anything that's not, doesn't boil down into, say, like a bottle or, you know, crisps or, you know. So it's an object that you can make do a certain amount of work, and that you can understand through these layers, but I don't think that necessarily nullifies its specificity, which is what I was hoping to kind of capture through this question of immutability.
Is this, sorry to go back to this one, is someone working, developing with this project on your course, is this something that's happening within Goldsmiths?
No, this is a student kind of looking at this project in relation to something else he was working on, but he's not working on this as such. Yeah. Although there's an awful lot of sensor work. I mean, there's actually whole reams of it in relation to gardens and monitoring, you know, kind of like, apparently a lot of people are very, very bad at watering their plants. So if you can automate your irrigation, you know, you can be there, have happy house plants.
With the electronics thing, and going back to Alex's question about scale, do you think as different kind of technologies evolve, so certainly with kind of bio and kind of genetic modification and nano stuff, because you know I kept having kind of Drexler's grey goo in my in my mind as a you know. All destroying dirt. Do you think with these kind of technological advances in terms of scale, you know, dirt becomes more contested as a word or as a space? Because there is something about the scale of dirt, and it's not rocks. It's more, but that's the ultimate one. So when does dirt on a scale stop being dirt and start being elements
in the assemblage?
Yeah. I've confused myself.
Well, I mean, I think Nina's point about, you know, Mary Douglas said about dirt being matter out of place, and whether you agree with Douglas's assertion does point to the way in which dirt is kind of relative of systems of ordering. And so while it can operate as an object, it can also operate as an agitator, and something that, you know, kind of hits at those limits of systems or, you know, even systems thinking potentially. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but what was the point you were making about nanotechnology? Because there is a lot of stuff out there with that too.
Yeah, I think it's, well, it might be about the kind of, I don't know, I haven't fully thought of it. It might be about the idea of matter out of place, but then also using the word dirt as soil and as a place of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And as technologies, as
certain technologies are allowing for the increased productivity through the kind of manipulation of soil and dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, the out of placeness of the matter starts to become more contested, where it stops being out of place, and there's certain things put in place to to make it function in a different way.
So it like it becomes more stable.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking in the STS terms that it stabilizes, or you know, when it gets bigger or something. Is that what you're kind of saying? It becomes more something, less the
becomes less out of place.
Then it's kind of like a weak object. It's like weakness, or it's the sense of not being alive. It's not alive to various things.
Could just become a growing medium. I mean, that's what a lot of these technologies are kind of pointing toward, creating various forms of growing mediums that are more efficient, that are potentially lighter, less resource intensive, and are highly kind of engineered, and then cease to be kind of dirt and more kind of engineered and productive.
Thank you.
Very dirty presentation.